All right, we're in Jeremiah 27. We're in verses 1 through 12. It might seem like a lot, but they kind of run a little bit together. We've been in Jeremiah here for about 7 weeks or so, 6 to 7 weeks. And it's been an awesome journey to kind of see where God's sovereignty falls into place, speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, and how the nation has kind of pushed against God for God to really show his wrath and to show ultimately to his mercy on the land there towards the end of this book. But God's word says, starting in the first verse in chapter 27 of Jeremiah, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying thus, says Yahweh to me, make for yourself bonds and bars of your yoke, and put them on your neck, and you shall send word to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, and to the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. And you shall command them to go to their master, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I made the earth, the men, the animals, which are on the face of the earth, by great power and by my outstretched arm. And I will give it to the one who is right in my eyes. So now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. And I have given him even the wild beasts of the field to serve him. All the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings will make him their servant. And it'll be that the nation of the kingdom which will not serve him, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish the nation with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares Yahweh, until I have brought it to end by his hand. But as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you in order to remove you far from the land. And I will banish you, and you will perish. But the nation which will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon will serve him. I will leave it on its land, declares Yahweh. And they will serve it and inhabit it. I spoke words like all of these to Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. We start off here in the first couple of verses here. We see the reign of other kings that are of the nation. And we can see by Yahweh speaking to Jeremiah that he's not happy with the way the leadership is going. That he's not content with how the other leaders are doing and how they are acting. We've seen that last week when we seen the wrath of God poured out on the nation, all because of their kings put in place that ultimately could not satisfy the commands of the Lord. So Yahweh speaking clear, he says, you shall send the word to the king of Edom, and the king of Moab, to the king of the sons of Ammon, and he's telling all these different kings of these different lands that they are not suitable to lead. That everybody will listen to Nebuchadnezzar because he is sent from God to command and to lead the land. And so we see him being very bold here. We see him being very clear on what he wants done. We see him being clear on the commands to the people because he was never the type ever to leave the people not led. Never see him to tell the people a different route that's ultimately not going to glorify him. we could never see him not be clear with the people. And in verse 4 it says, "And you shall command them to go to their master, saying, Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters." And he continues to say, to prove his sovereignty, he says, "I have made the earth, I have made the men and the animals which inhabit the land." There he's saying, why are you not listening to what I am saying? Because I am the one that created men. I'm the one that created the kings. I'm the one that created the land that you inhabit today. He's being very, very clear. And some things you can take into account on why he's not happy with the way the people are acting is because the prophet Jeremiah, once again, is speaking to the land, and they are ultimately ignoring him. No matter what he says, no matter he says that these kings are going to be replaced by Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is the one that you should listen to, that he is the one that was sent from Yahweh, from God, to lead the land. And other reasons why you may say that he was not happy with the kings that were put into place is because there's other people being allowed to do what they want. There's people allowed to saying that they're the prophets. There's people allowed to show idolatry without them in through the land. There's people there that is ultimate chaos. See, God is a God of structure. He's a God of structure, and he is not chaos, and he will never be chaos. So understand, when he looks at the nation, when he sees the land and he sees chaos, he's ultimately like, well, this is not the way it should be, because I am Yahweh. It needs to be structured. It needs to be put in place. You need to understand who I am. And that's why he says it very bold, where he says, "I have made the earth, the men, the animals which are on the face of the earth, my great power, my power." Notice he didn't say nothing about no other man's power. He didn't say nothing about no other creation's power. He said, "By his power, his outstretched hand, I will give it to the one who was right in my eyes." Talking about the king. And the one that was right in his eyes was Nebuchadnezzar. Ultimately, later on, we understand that Jesus came and he was the powerful one. That he was the one that made the land and the nation completely, completely under God's power by that form of what happened on Calvary. But we can see here too, in verse 6, it says, "So now I have given all the lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant." So we can understand that Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God by the scripture that we read, that he was serving him. So his decision making would be done by serving the Lord, that it would line up to whatever the Lord wants done, that Nebuchadnezzar would complete. And we see too that it says at the end of verse 6, "And I have given him even the wild beasts of the field to serve him." Now he's talking about the all of the land. By God saying, even the beast in the field will serve him. Even the men or the women who are against what is being said from Jeremiah, the ones that are being against from what Yahweh's word says or Yahweh's commands, they will even serve Nebuchadnezzar because he is a servant of him. He's a servant of Yahweh. And so even the ruthless people, the ones that are totally against what God is saying, even they will serve him. So that automatically gives him the power and ultimately allows him to serve the land with God's justice and with God's power. Verse 7, "All the nations will serve him, and his son and his grandson until all the time of his own land comes. And many nations and great kings will make him their servant." There we see a lineage where God is saying, even the grandsons of this man will serve. Because he is a servant of mine. Because he will straighten up the land the way it should be straightened up. He will ultimately do his decisions based on the Lord and not based on man's well-being. understand if you have a servant who is basing things off of their own will or of their own being, what are they not doing? They are not listening to God. They are not listening to what God wants to lead the nation. We have many leaders that don't listen to what God is leading. They listen to their own will. When you listen to your own will, we know that our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are deceitful. We learned that a few weeks ago in Jeremiah, where he says the heart is deceitful above all things. So if we lead in our own hearts, we're going to lead into despair. But if we lead into God's understanding, if we lead through the Holy Spirit, we lead through God, then ultimately, we're going to lead into heaven. We're going to lead into greatness. We're going to lead into different ways of life that is not going to be hard. We don't want to lead into despair. We don't want to lead others into despair. We want to lead through God, then allow God to move inside of our lives and allow God to move inside of the leaders to lead a nation that is all under God. We say that. We say that in our, when we salute in our American flag. But do we actually listen to it? Here he's trusting, he's leading, he's given Nebuchadnezzar leadership. Because he says that he is a servant. He is a servant of God. In verse 8 it says, "And it will be that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve him, Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish the nation with the sword." With the sword means war. With famine. With lack of eating. Okay? And with pestilence. Understand that he's clear. He says, if you do not listen and you do not obey to this king that I have put into place, then the land will suffer. Once last week, we read about the wrath of God having it in his hands. And it's, we read it again at the end of verse 8. It says, "Until I have brought it to end by his hand," Nebuchadnezzar's hand, "he will bring the land to end because he is the servant." So once again, disobeying, we see if you disobey God in certain ways that he can bring the end. He can bring the nation to its feet. He can bring the nation and destroy it whenever he wants to. Because he is sovereign. Because he is in control. And I want to take into consideration here too is when Yahweh is speaking through Jeremiah, how clear he is. You can't take anything out of context when Yahweh speaks. When Yahweh commands, it is clear and it is to the point that there is nothing else you can take from it. But a lot of times we may say, well, through the Old Testament, we can take scriptures into a different way. When Yahweh is speaking through the prophets, he is speaking so clear that anybody can understand it. The clarity on his sovereignty throughout chapter 27 is so clear that you can't take it no other way. He's saying, if you don't obey, that the nation will be brought upon war. It'll be brought upon famine. And I will wipe it out with just the hand. We'll wipe it out completely. There's only one true sovereign God that can wipe out a land completely with all these different things. In verse 9 it says, "But as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers." There, it's clearly the non-prophets, the people that come into the land that say they are the prophets, that they have a word from God, and they truly don't. Here we see soothsayers. Those are the people that try to speak to you in a soothing tone, and that they, for you to understand where they are coming from. The sorcerers are the ones that would come in and bring magic into the land and all of these different spiritual things that truly are not from God. You may see that with tarot card readings or what fortune tellers, what we see in today. It's the same thing. Those are the kind of things that the Bible warns about against, because it's not from God. It's not about God. A lot of times we like to think it is in our own will, but it's not true. All these, the diviners, and it says they will ultimately not serve him. They will not serve him in the end when it comes to stuff like that, when it comes to the nation. So it says not to listen to those people. It's a clear command. It's saying do not listen to them. It doesn't say sometimes you can listen to them because they may speak the right thing. No, it's clearly, it says, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, soothsayers, or sorcerers, saying you will not serve King Babylon. Ultimately, wherever God leads, whatever God says of his command shall be followed. It should be followed. And it's not only followed in just a way to where we listen to him and we go about our day. No, we are to follow him completely with everything that he puts into your heart. Anything that he leads in the Holy Spirit, you are to listen completely and not just partial. Let's see. Verse 11, it says, actually in verse 10 it says, for the prophecy, they prophesy a lie in order to remove you from the land, and I will banish you and you will perish. So if you listen to the non-prophets, if you listen to all of that so-called nonsense and you continue your life in that, then you will be punished. Ultimately, you will perish and you will be banished. In verse 11, but the nation which will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will leave it on its land. So there he's saying, if you serve Nebuchadnezzar, if you serve the king, and you do it continuously, and you do it in a way that is glorifying him, then he will never leave you. He won't banish you from the land, nor will he punish you. He's saying to listen to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, because he is the one that was sent from me, that he is going to listen to the commands, and he will make the land great again. And from there, he's saying to trust in him, to understand him. He's making a comparison of the people to not whom to trust, not trust at all, to the king that he should trust, that the people should trust. Saying, don't listen to the prophets that say that the prophets are the soothsayers or sorcerers or none of them. Listen to Nebuchadnezzar. He's put in place for a reason. He's put in place by me. And so by doing this, by speaking through Jeremiah, Jeremiah is telling the people of the land, this is the way it should be from the Lord. Listen to me. Listen to Yahweh. Because right now you're probably confused, because they don't know who to trust. They don't know who to trust. Yahweh has given complete instruction on the people who not to trust and the king to trust. The king that will lead. The king that will lead in God's understanding, in God's will. He's just given clear instructions. In verse 11 it says, a nation will bring its neck under the yoke and a Babylon to serve him. I will leave on its land, declares Yahweh, and will serve and inhabit it, that he will leave you. Once again, said it before, will leave you with inhabiting the land. You will not feel his wrath if you listen to God, if you listen to God. And you listen to Nebuchadnezzar, because he's there to serve. He's there to serve him faithfully. Verse 12, it says, I spoke words like all Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, bring your necks under the yoke, and the king of Babylon will serve him, and the people will live. Once again, the people will continue to live underneath the king. The people that serve God and serve Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar was sent, a servant from God, to lead the people. Understand, the land was led by people that were not serving and not honoring God. We must serve God and honor him in leadership. We must serve and honor him inside of our homes. We must serve and honor him inside of the church. And it's clear by the scriptures that we are to lead in a way that can glorify God in the end. Because if we don't run our homes in glorifying God, then we're glorifying ourselves. When ultimately we should be glorifying Him in all the decision making that we do, everything that we do in our lives, everything that we do in our workplace, everything that we do when we communicate with others, should be glorifying God. Should be listening. Should be understanding His nature, understanding His sovereignty, understanding who He is ultimately.
So, the one thing that we can understand through the scriptures today is that the land was rebelling against God completely. There was kings put in the place that ultimately were leading out of their own will, leading out of their own decisions. And when the Lord poured wrath upon the land because of rebellion, He brought Nebuchadnezzar in and said, "He is a servant of mine." He gave the people peace. He said, "He is a servant, and that He will lead the land in the right way. He will lead them glorifying Him, and with ultimately leading them in a way that God can be proud of the people, that God would say, 'These are people of mine. These are not people that are rebelling against me.'" And that should give the people comfort. But they needed to listen to Jeremiah. We are to listen to God when He speaks in our lives, and to lead our people, to lead our family in a way that would glorify Him, and ultimately, just like a father figure, to make Him proud of what we're doing in our lives. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we come to You as a home, and we come to You as a church to reach out to You for understanding, for how we can lead, for understanding on how we can lead our families, on how we can lead our homes and lead the church. I think a lot of us like to use our own free will, our own matter of our hearts and our guidance. A lot of leaders do that, but ultimately just lead us on how we can glorify You. And then, Father, we need to know how to glorify You as parents, as leaders of the church, and as leaders of the home. Father, we're honored to be able to worship and to praise You on this wonderful Lord's Day, and just ultimately just give us guidance. Give us guidance on how to live. And we read it all throughout Your scriptures. We lean on each other for guidance. Allow us to do it in a way that can glorify You. To glorify You in Your nature. Sovereign above all things in our lives. Father, we're amazed over everything that You've done. And we're thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.